welcome to Mashley at the Movies. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Matt.
And we're kicking off the seventh season of Mashley at the Movies with a new movie called Argyle.
It's directed by Matthew Vaughn, who is probably most well-known for his Kingsman films of recent years. And it has a pretty big all-star cast, you could say. A lot of folks in here. Henry Cavill, Bryce Dallas Howard, Bryan Cranston, Dua Lipa, the singer, is in here. Lots of folks. Some we won't spoil. But this is going to be a difficult movie to talk about. This may be a short episode because there are so many twists and turns, and we don't want to spoil them for you, that we've got to keep it, I guess, vague. As far as the plot goes, I'll tell you what was, I think, featured in the trailers, which is Bryce Dallas Howard plays Ellie Conway, who is a spy novelist. And she is on a train to see her parents. Mom's played by Catherine O'Hara. And Sam Rockwell shows up, and he turns out he's a spy, and he's there to protect her. And then a whole bunch of dudes come and like try and I don't know, I guess either kill her or kidnap her or whatever. And they're off on an adventure. That's all I'll say about that.
Yes.
What'd you think?
So I have mixed feelings about this movie. It's not good in a lot of ways, but I also found myself kind of enjoying it, and I wasn't necessarily bored, although I think one criticism of the film is that it goes on for too long. It feels a little bloated and a little messy, and but like I said, at the same time, you mentioned there's lots of twists and turns. Those were fun. Those were amusing. It maybe got a little tiresome after a while, but you kind of have to go with the flow of this movie, because I think when we walked out of this movie, I described it as ridiculous, and it is it's a ridiculous film, but it's intended to be. It's supposed to be kind of a comedy, a satire of these types of films, you know, like kind of James Bond or Bourne Identity type films. It's supposed to be kind of making fun of those and all of the twists and the over the top action. And I accepted it as that, and was along for the ride, and kind of enjoyed myself. There's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of really good actors and performances. I really liked Bryce Dallas Howard as our lead. I thought she was really good, and I thought she had good chemistry with Sam Rockwell. So I kind of just barely recommend it.
Yeah, this is a difficult movie for me because in many ways I liked it. I'd actually see it again. You know, someone who hadn't seen it was like, hey, man, I want to go see Argyle. Do you want to go with me and see it again? I would be like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. That said, it has a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. And I think one of them is it's a little off tonally. I know you mentioned this last night after we were out of the movie, and you mentioned it here, how, oh, it's a satire of spy films. And my whole thing is like, is it? I mean, I know that may be what its intent is, mm-hmm. but the problem, and this is not the only movie to do this, but the problem with a movie that sets out to satirize a particular genre is it has to make sure that it doesn't take itself too seriously and fall into actually becoming that genre, right? Mm-hmm. And this movie ends up, I mean, yeah, it has some humorous moments, but I would say this is mostly dramatic with some humorous bits. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're going to do a satire, it has to be most, in my opinion anyway, it has to be mostly humorous. Mm-hmm. This is not that. In my opinion, you want to see the definitive all-time best satire film, that's Airplane. Mm-hmm. You know, that came out in 1980. You know, decades later, I don't know if folks understand the context for it, but, you know, the 70s, starting in 1970, that was when we had, I think, four airport movies. And those were all about airplane disasters. Right. Although Airplane, the movie itself, is actually really based off of a 50s film called Zero Hour. Anyway, I digress. That is a great satire. It's just almost nonstop funny and you know, doesn't take itself seriously. And yeah, this movie kind of just becomes a spy film. And I think so. I think I have some issues with it tonally. And then, yeah, boy. So this movie, I going into it, I saw it was 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I did pause. But, you know, we went in, and for a while, it was like pretty, you know, it was rocking and rolling, and it everything's fast paced. And like I said, there's twists and turns. And then we reach a point where I'm like, okay, this needs to wrap up. And there was like another half hour or 40 minutes to go. And I'm like, oh my gosh. It's kind of like, I don't know. I try to think of like an analogy for it. I mean, one I can think of is like, you know, let's say someone comes up to you and is like, hey, I got a really funny joke for you. And I'm like, okay. And like, you know, 20 seconds in, you got a big grin on your face when they're telling it to you. And you're like, this is, I can't wait to see how they wrap this up. And then 5 minutes later, they're still telling the joke. And you're looking at your watch like, oh, okay, you need to wrap this up, you know. And that's kind of how I felt with this.
Yeah. No, I can agree that tonally it's perhaps not completely successful. And as a satire, I don't think it's completely successful. But I do feel like that it is intending to be kind of a goofy play on that genre. There's other problems as well. There's a lot of CGI. And one of the main problems I had with the film is this cat that our main character has named Alfie, who she carries around in her backpack. That cat is CGI and is obviously CGI in much of the film. And I found it to be very distracting. I don't know. It just bothered me. I feel like, why can't we have a real cat?
You know what's weird about that is, so I went after we saw it, I read some trivia about the movie, and supposedly, like, one of the things was like, oh, so the cat that plays Alfie belongs to so and so. I don't know who the names were, but like, people involved with the production. And I'm like, so that was a real cat?
There were moments where I could tell it was a real cat, but most of the time I could tell it was a CGI cat.
Isn't that a weird thing? Like, I still remember going to see Jurassic Park 31 years ago at the theater and just being wowed. And then a few years later, seeing The Matrix at the theater in 1999 and just being super bowled over by the effects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, particularly with Jurassic Park, I thought like, wow, like I saw these dinosaurs. I'm like, I feel like I'm seeing real dinosaurs, you know? Mm-hmm. And some of those, I think, were practical model effects, and some of those were CGI. And I'm trying to understand how we are 30 years on, how CGI has devolved. Mm-hmm. Where we go from like, wow, I feel like I'm really looking at a dinosaur, to that cat's fake.
Yeah, I don't know if they just didn't have the budget for it. But I also think it's harder to CGI a cat convincingly. I've never seen a live dinosaur before, so you can get by with some, you know, maybe not the best effects, and I would accept it because I just haven't seen one. But I see a live cat every day, and so I know what one looks like, and I know that this is not one. This mm-hmm. is, you know, it looks fake in most of the scenes. And then there were, like I said, there were moments where it looked real, and then it just took me out of the movie every time. I love cats, and I would have loved to have this character be kind of a fun part of the film, but it was always messing with me.
But you know, as you and I joke about sometimes offline, like, cats are notoriously hard to like. I mean, good luck trying to, like, you know, get a cat to do what you want.
No, believe me, I understand why they wanted to do a CGI cat. A CGI actor cat is not going to be easy to deal with, although there have been some fairly successful movies that have real cats in them as main characters.
You're going to talk about Cat from Outer Space, aren't you?
I'm going to say Cat from Outer Space.
Hey, I don't know if I call that successful.
Well, it's not a great movie, I will admit. But as the star of that film, that cat does a pretty good job.
That cat did all right.
I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine how long it took to get the cat to do what it needed to do, but they managed to do it. And I mean, and this cat didn't have to do too much. I mean, mostly it was just in a backpack.
Yeah, that cat was just carried around a lot.
Yeah.
Or walking on a counter or eating food. I mean, that's the thing is like, why? I don't know why it needed to be fake.
Yeah. And there's some other CGI that's really sketchy too. But I was, if I'm being generous, particularly at the, in the early parts of the film, I felt like the CGI was kind of sketchy on purpose, but I could be wrong. I don't, yeah. I don't, cause I think they were kind of making fun of these kind of overly CGI movies. If I'm being generous, that's what I'm allowing them. But yeah, I know, but there are some really good scenes that some of the fight scenes were pretty cool. There's some really kind of, it's strange to say this, but the kind of beautiful, choreographed and shot scenes, fight scenes.
I think you're being generous with those.
Oh, okay.
I didn't hate the fight scenes, but well, one in particular annoyed me because from Bryce Dallas Howard's character's perspective, it switches from Sam Rockwell to Henry Cavill back and forth. And I'm like, that got old
that
real
was
quick.
Hugely annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really had a problem with that one.
And here's the thing, too, and this is probably just a me thing, but, you know, however many years ago, four or five years ago, that movie Vice came out. I think Sam Rockwell played George W. Bush in that. Mm. And I'm watching this movie now, Argyle, and I'm like, I just see George W. Bush.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, your mileage may vary on if you think that's a good or bad thing, but I was like, wow, this is distracting me. Yeah, and so I one of the things I just kind of wanted to talk about is how twisty and turny this movie is. And this falls into a clump of films that, you know, we've all seen a movie before, right, where it kind of keeps you on your toes the whole time. It kind of disoriented, actually, mm-hmm. about with everything happening with the plot. But you roll with it, you know, and then afterwards, you know, you're on the way home or you're just thinking about it or talking about it with somebody who watched it with you. And you're like, wait, but that is in hindsight, all of a sudden, the plot starts falling apart. And this movie is definitely this may be the crowning champion of that of that issue, because in hindsight, there are just so many little things that little and big things that, yeah, you're like, oh, wait, that, you know, that again, this movie, it kept me on my toes and I was so invested in it because everything was happening so quickly. It's like a fast talking con person, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that bugged me and it's hard to talk about because, you know, we don't want to spoil stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. Definitely in our conversations after the film, we came up with some things that didn't quite make sense.
Yeah.
So it's one of those movies where, yeah, you think about it later and then, yeah, you realized the plot didn't really work, did it? But, and again, I don't completely know how to read this film because a lot of, like I said, I came at it and I experienced it as more of a satire. And so I feel that a lot of the, you know, twists and turns upon twists and turns was intentionally supposed to be funny and making kind of light of these types of films. But even so, I felt like it became a bit tiresome here.
Yes. Yeah. We should also, too, mention there is a mid-credit scene, yeah. which it happened. And you know, again, I've mentioned on the show before, my hearing is not the best. So I honestly didn't catch every bit of the dialogue. So I'm not quite sure what all they were talking about. But the scene happened and it was over. And I was just sitting there like, okay, you know.
Yeah, so. It really fell flat. I mean, those mid-credit scenes are supposed to be kind of, you know, either shocking or surprising or leave you wanting more or something. But this just fell flat. I didn't even understand it. And I heard all the dialogue, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's some missed opportunities here. I think, you know, if it's going for the satire, it could have done it better.
Sure.
But that said, it's got a lot of good actors, and I think they all do a good job. Mm-hmm. And you won't be bored by it, I don't think, mm-hmm. until maybe the last, if you're like me, the last half hour where I'm like, okay, wrap this up. All right. So speaking of wrapping things up, what would you give this out of 10?
I will give it a 5.8.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6. So our score is 5.9.
Yep.
And that is Argyle. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.